Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you on this Monday morning. It is the 29th day of April 2019. I want to begin this morning in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, do you think they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know, whenever there is a disaster or some catastrophe that happens, particularly in shooting events like the Islamic mosque shooting in New Zealand or the Sri Lanka shooting in Sri Lanka with the Christians, the Muslims in New Zealand, and then in Poway, California, a synagogue where one woman is killed, three people are injured, and here comes the cry. And the cry is out to the world, why do these things have to happen? And Jesus just made it very clear when the Jews came to him in that day, and they said, Lord, do you know what happened to us over here in Galilee and what they did to the blood of the people? And Jesus just comes out very matter-of-factly and says, do you think those people that were killed were worse sinners than anybody else? And he said, I'm telling you, they weren't. And unless you repent, you too are going to perish. And then Jesus actually brings up a tower of Siloam, and I always think about the Twin Towers on 9/11/2001. Do you think those 2,997 people were more sinners than the rest of the people in New York City in those days? I tell you, no, unless you repent, you too will perish. And so there's a principle here that we need to pick up on and understand that the world is in chaos, the world is in turmoil. And that is a fact. And to get truth is a very powerful thing right now. I mean, facts are changeable, and they seem to change with every culture, generation, whatever, the truth remains the same forever. You never have another side of the truth. There's only one truth. And Jesus, the truth, was telling the nations, really through this word, unless you repent, you too are going to perish. And so there's calamities that are coming down the pike. And we look at what's happening in the last couple of weeks since the shooting in New Zealand, where a quote-unquote, I'm going to use the terms that have been promoted and presented to the minds of the people of the world, that a white supremacist went into a mosque in New Zealand, shot and killed reportedly 50-some-odd Muslims. The retaliation that would come, they said ISIS took credit in Sri Lanka when 350 Christians were worshiping on Resurrection Sunday. They were killed by bombs and different attacks. Then we see a white supremacist 19-year-old boy going into a Jewish synagogue in Poway, and we have our next paradigm shift. So we have from the Muslim world, the Christian world, the Jewish world, and these are not the first times. The most persecuted people on the face of the earth are Christians at this time, according to kind of Rand report that you can find, and it's out there. It's just the truth. So among the great religions of the world, there's chaos and confusion. And then we know that there are wars going around, and there's all kinds of persecution. There's drug trafficking, sex trafficking, weapons trafficking. I mean, there's movement going on all over the world. And if something big is being set up, we see that as we look through the lens of Scripture. Now, Jesus is so wise, and he's so right on, because he is Almighty God, that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, he said these words. He said, "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." He also said that there would be wars and rumors of wars in Matthew chapter 24. In Mark 13, Jesus said, and this is in verse 8, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." He's talking about the last days, particularly. That was the question. He's answering it perfectly. "And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows." And then in Luke chapter 21, verse 10, Jesus said, again, these are three apostles getting the same conversation, writing it down. "Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Well, what does the word nation actually mean? Well, in this setting, it means ethnos. The Greek word is ethnos. And what it's actually saying in the definition, the Greek definition of ethnos, is a race. Okay? So race shall rise against race. Whether it's the black race and the white race, whether it's a Mexican race, a brown race, the yellow race, the red race, race will rise against race. And now we're seeing not only the races rising against one another in religion, but also in the political arena. You go back to Washington, D.C., and a Bernie Sanders supporter took a rifle to a Republican softball game and shot Steve Scalise. And you remember that wasn't reported so well, but that was a truth. That was a Bernie Sanders supporter. That was a terrorist attack against the Republican Party. This is what we see. We saw it in Pittsburgh. There's been so much of it. I think people have just taken the opioid and said, you know what? Let me have my sports. Let me have my concerts. Let me have my sitcoms. Let me just watch. I just need the opium every night to calm my nerves and black me out, so I don't really see this and observe it and interpret it. I don't really want to understand, you know. And I'm just going to kind of relegate everything to, well, that's the way the world is. And one day we're going to have peace. And so is this the moment for peacemakers? I mean, it's always a blessed thing to be a peacemaker, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. And it's always a good thing to be a peacemaker. We live in a world, though, where the nations are crying for peace, peace. The Jewish man from the synagogue leader in Poway was crying out on the news station today, Why? We want peace. Why does it have to be this way? And then we have to ask ourselves questions because, quite frankly, Christian persecution, listen to me, this is what their facts are saying, okay? And there is truth connected to these facts. The most persecuted people on the planet right now are not the Jews. They are the Christians. Now, the Jews, there is a very strong anti-Semitic spirit rising. There's no doubt. And eventually, according to Scripture, the anti-Semitic and Christian persecution, if you will, you know, the two prongs of the devil's attack against these two people groups are going to be very powerful, particularly among those who keep the commandments of God and those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I believe he's talking here about the merging of the two, where he takes the two sticks in Ezekiel 37, and he makes of Israel one nation from the 10 tribes and the two tribes, or however that was, and he brought them together as one nation. Well, Jesus said, I have another flock. He brought the Jew and the Gentile together. And it's very clear in Scripture that there is neither Jew or Gentile in Christ Jesus, that the Jew and the Gentile have become one new man in the earth. And these are spiritual realities, okay, just simple spiritual truths that every one of us should rejoice in, that you could be a goyim or a Gentile and actually participate in the covenants that God made with Abraham. And, I mean, that is an awesome, awesome reality. And when the Jewish brethren come to faith in Yeshua, there's nothing more beautiful than a Jewish person that has found their Messiah, that they are the very root and offspring of Abraham. I mean, that is awesome. You and I have been grafted in. We praise God. We partake, and this is beautiful. So we have nothing against, as Christians, we should have nothing in our hearts against anybody. I mean, quite frankly, we should be calling all men to Yeshua because there they're going to find peace. But what the nations are begging for right now is peace without Christ, peace without God's salvation. The Jew wants to maintain his rejection of the Messiah. And we have talked about this before, and I have to be very careful about this because of the rise of anti-Semitism. But we need to ask questions like, maybe the ADL, the American Defamation League, okay, or the Anti-Defamation League needs to retract or come out and say something about an article like this. Because this is an article from a man that was the president, he was the leader of the ADL, and he wrote this letter. His name was Mr. Foxman, and here's what he said. Gentlemen, this is on August 25th, 1998. All right, the Anti-Defamation League is predominantly run by Jewish people, unbelieving Jewish people, and Mr. Foxman said this on August 25th, 1998, never retracted it, never came out and said, I didn't say that. He said, gentlemen, welcome to the second centennial meeting of the Learned of Elders of Zion. Centennial, that's 100 years, right? He said, we have achieved all of the objectives expressed at our first meeting 100 years ago. Obviously, they weren't present, but part of this paradigm, this group, this offspring, 100 years earlier, he said this: we control governments, we have created dissension among our enemies and made them kill each other, we have effectively silenced criticism of our affairs, and we are the richest race of men on this earth. Many of you are very busy men, he went on to say. Let us get to the crux of the matter. As masters of business, politics, law, and most importantly, media, we are ready to implement our most important and ambitious program, one that will finally and totally remove from existence the impediments of our absolute control of this earth. I speak of the death of the white race, the complete removal of all means of reproduction of the so-called Aryan race. Men, we now control the destiny of this race. It is now time to make sure the white race becomes extinct through miscegenation and having a virtually zero birth rate. And how many of you know that's kind of where we're heading? I continue on in his statement that he's never rejected, retracted, never said I didn't say that. This was on August 25th, 1998. So we're talking maybe 20 years ago, 21 years ago. He said this: "We have all enjoyed the vision repeated all over this world every day of the last white children playing with little dark children and knowing that they are being set up for their eventual destruction. We can ruin the ancient pure bloodline of an Aryan child by convincing him or her of the altruism of begetting interracial children. We must expose the race mixing of the urban centers to the suburbs and rural areas of this country." Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed or not in your commercials lately that there are very few white people. They are all mixed. And this is very powerful propaganda. And I'm just saying, you turn on your TV, you watch a few commercials, you'll see white men with black women or black women with or black men with white women. You'll see intermixing everywhere. Now, this is so important because we are not just because a right-wing white supremacist, David Duke, KKK, would come out and unveil these quotes and so, well, if it came from him, it can't be true. What you and I need to do is look at the television screen, see the interracial, the intermixing, the war against white supremacists, white nationalists. There is a war, but where's it coming from? Well, according to this gentleman, Mr. Foxman, the head of the ADL in 1998, 100 years earlier, which was in what, 1898? 100 years earlier, when a group of Jewish people gathered together and said, this is our goal. Well, they carried that out in their writings. They brought it forth, and here they are saying, we've achieved it. And then he went on to say this: more aggressive programs to integrate these areas are now underway through HUD. It is worth any price to annihilate the next generation of white children. We want every white father to feel the sting of having their children marry colored mates and produce biracial children. We must use our power to discourage white men and women who still persist in getting together from producing more pure white children. They will be ostracized by not becoming part of the new society of all races. This will dissuade most of them. We will deal with the less cooperative goyim by murder and imprisonment. Finally, we will see the end of this white race. Impressionable white children will have their minds molded into the agents of their own destruction. Already, our efforts have succeeded in making the quote-unquote men of this race grovel at our feet. Men, you and your ancestors have worked hard to make sure we would have the power to hold the destiny of this race in our hands. Now, we have it. Perish, Aryan Goyim cattle. And then there was a great applause. End of speech. So, it's never been retracted. It's never been spoken against. There's never been anybody come out to say that's not true. Foxman never renounced that, never said somebody made this up. And what is this all coming from? Why did the ADL come out with such a strong, aggressive speech like this in New York City, New York, on August 25th, 1998? Well, this is emanating out of World War II in Nazi Germany with the white Aryan race of Adolf Hitler, who persecuted and killed over 6 million Jews, as we have been told. And that we've never been there, so we don't know the exact number. It's like kind of throwing things around like Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. I've been hearing that for 37 years. I mean, someone say, well, he was here 2,037 years ago. We don't do that, right? So we just have these roundabout numbers. And yet the exact number of Jews that were killed and the rest of people that were killed in World War One. Well, the coming against that from the ADL is we want to destroy the white race because the white race represents Adolf Hitler and this Aryan pure bloodline. We want to destroy it because it's vengeance against what they did to us. You see, but this isn't a military type of warfare. This is against all white people. So my point is why don't the Jewish leaders denounce that? Why don't they come out openly, the Jewish leaders, and say, that's not our heart. That's, you know, that's not true. You know, that was never said. That was a hoax. You know, that was, and if he did say it, we're not connected to that. We're not part of that because this is coming from Jewish people. I have a friend locally here who was very much useful in promoting the election of one of our congressmen in Arkansas, and his first name is Lewis, and Lewis calls me because he listens to my program on Kerm Radio. He said, I always listen, and he is a Jewish man. He loves, you know, the Passover movie with the Ten Commandments. He's watched it so many times. We have great conversations, and he tells me, you know, Vince, when I hear you talking about the pornography industry in America and how the unbelieving Jewish people are so moved by that, you know, I went and checked it out for myself, and sad to say, everything you said was right on. And he says, but you do need to know that anti-Semitism is rising because, you see, I'm not an anti-Semite. I go to Israel. I love the Jewish people. There's nothing in my heart that doesn't love them. But there are Jewish people that have such a hatred for Jesus Christ. I mean, they want to crucify him upside down and speak the most vile, filthy things. And I've already took this to study. I've shown you this, that the entire pornographic industry is controlled by unbelieving Jews, and they use it for a persecution to destroy the psyche of a society. I go on and on and on about these things. It's all very agendaed. It's not a mistake. It's not progressive. It is very much penetrated tactical warfare against people in this country. And now you take these two different prongs of the ADL and the pornographic industry, and you realize that these unbelieving, hateful Jews, which themselves are white, is what's so strange. They want to destroy the Aryan white race. I have, you know, through marriage, relatives that are Jewish that are pure white. So I don't understand. You know, the Muslims have a harder time, and I'll tell you why. The Muslims cannot come out. There's no Muslim cleric to come out and say, we do not espouse to the ideological, radical terms of ISIS or Hezbollah or Hamas or Al-Qaeda or any other terrorist group. We, you know, this is not our religion. You know, we renounce it. They can't because their very book, the Quran, and all the hadiths and all their literature is kill the Jew, kill the Christian. If you see them behind a tree, slit their throats. So it's very difficult for a Muslim leader to come out without being a liar or a sheep in wolf's or a wolf in sheep's clothing and just purely lie and say, oh, well, we're not there. We're peaceful Muslims. Well, then don't read your book. You know, what Allah do you want to worship? If you're going to worship the God of Muhammad and you're going to study his book and you're going to read what it says, then stop saying that you're peaceful Muslims. No, you're not. Well, I've done it right on this radio broadcast. I played the clip of a person that said our goal is to Islamize the United States of America, that said that we, the American people, were guests in their house. Come on. Now, there's an agenda from the Islamic world. It's much more difficult for them to claim a peaceful religion. But the Jews need to rise up and they need to renounce the pornographic issue or at least speak into it. You say, well, why are you talking about pornography? Obviously, you haven't listened to the program. That pornography is a tool or a weapon of war to disarm the masses, to dumb them down, to do some brain damage to them, to make them useful idiots to their own paradigm or their own agenda. This is very true. And they and when pornography comes in, it's spoken by the heads of the pornographic industry, who are Jewish people, that we hate Jesus Christ so much, and Christians, we hate them so much, we want to thrust this filthy stuff in their minds. We want to wreck their children. We want to destroy them at young ages by flipping on a switch and seeing the most gross images that will ruin their minds forever. They don't care. But it's purposeful. It's intended. It's not a mistake. So here we have race against race. So what do you do if you're a white, blue-eyed, Aryan, German race? What do you do if you're a white race and you realize that the world is turning on you right now? The young man, the 19-year-old young man that went into that Jewish synagogue, he went in there to shoot and kill Jews. He was a white nationalist racist. Why is this popping up so much? Because if Mr. Foxman's speech is real, which nobody has renounced, it's all over the internet, you can find it anywhere. If it's real, there's an agenda to kill every white human being in this earth. You read it. I mean, I'll read it again if you want me to. I'll just put it out there for you. Gentlemen, welcome to the second centennial meeting of the Learned of Elders of Zion. This is Foxman. We have achieved all of the objectives expressed at our first meeting 100 years ago. We control governments. We have created dissension among our enemies and made them kill each other. We have effectively silenced criticism of our affairs, and we are the richest race of men on this earth. Many of you are very busy men. Let us get to the crux of the matter. As masters of business, politics, law, and most importantly, media, we are ready to implement our most important and ambitious program, one that will finally and totally remove from existence impediments of our absolute control of this earth. I speak of the death of the white race, the complete removal of all means of reproduction of the so-called Aryan race. Men, we now control the destiny of this race. It is now time to make sure the white race becomes extinct. We have all enjoyed the vision repeated all over this world every day of the last white children playing with little dark children and knowing that they are being set up for their eventual destruction. We can ruin the ancient pure bloodline of an Aryan child by convincing him or her of the altruism of begetting interracial children. We must expose the race mixing of the urban centers to the suburbs and rural areas of this country. More aggressive programs to integrate these areas are now underway through HUD. By the way, have you noticed on all these Rapster, MTV, Gangsta, there's always black guys with white women dancing for them? I mean, have you seen what's going on? I mean, it's real. It's there. He went on to say, we want every white father to feel the sting of having their children marry colored mates and produce biracial children. It is worth any price to annihilate the next generation of white children. We must use our power to discourage white men and women who still persist in getting together from producing more pure white children. So this is really laboring to separate, intermix, interrace. They will be ostracized by not becoming part of the new society of all races. They will dissuade most of them. This will dissuade them most. We will deal with the less cooperative goyim by murder and imprisonment. Finally, we will see the end of this white race. Impressionable white children will have their minds molded into the agents of their own destruction. Already, our efforts have succeeded in making the men of this race grovel at our feet. Men, you and your ancestors have worked hard to make sure we would have the power to hold the destiny of this race in our hands. Now we have it. Perish, Aryan Goyim. Applause. End of speech. No renunciation. No retraction. And I think if people are wondering what's happening in our world today, it's because of things like this. Now, why do they hate the Christians? Because Christians The colonialists are oftentimes connected with the white race, even though there are hundreds of thousands, millions of black Christians, Mexican Christians, red Christians, yellow Christians, Asians, brown Christians. I mean, there are Christians of every color. Now, they say the same for Jews that have been converted to Judaism. They say the same for Muslims. But again, as long as the Jews are feeling like they need to destroy races or there are speakers, the Jewish people need to stand up. Even the prime minister of Israel needs to stand up and say, hey, this is not us. We renounce that. That is a lie. That is not the truth. And there needs to be forms of aggressive rebuke. Christians have not a pretty history. They were known as slave owners. Christians started wars. You know, it is viewed America as a Christian nation, and we went into all the world with our military power. So what is it that's going on? Well, Jesus made it very clear what's going on. He said ethnos would rise against ethnos, race would rise against race, kingdom would rise against kingdom. It's 9:30. Good morning, Patricia Joy Xavier. Tough conversation, really not the most enjoyable thing to be talking about, but we have a lot of things going on in the last 2 weeks. Murder in a mosque, murder in a synagogue, murder in a church, a Christian church around the world. Something's happening. We need to understand it and try to get a handle on it. Not stir the fire, but to recognize Jesus said this is another sign of the end times. Your thoughts?
My thoughts, and good morning to everyone out there, are these. That there are Jews that are claimed to be Jews when they're really not. These are the ones that are giving the most trouble for the moment. It comes all the way from the book of Revelation till this very day. And it speaks in this manner, Revelation 3, 8 through 9. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and I have not denied and have not denied my name. But then in the scripture, it goes on to say, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Now, this in the book of Revelation has to do with a group called the Gnostics. And they were really of, if I bring them to today, yes, if I bring them to today and cause the understanding of who they are, some will say that these are the Jews that were of the bloodline that call themselves Jews, but are not. They are the Gnostics. And what that means is they were literally involved in occultism, in not the word of the testimony of the Old Testament, but involved with a mixture of pagantry within the Old Testament, and they were Gnostics, and that is what they are today. They are involved with occultism, each and every one in Hollywood, in those areas in which they are in deep state, are involved with occultism, even to the point where you can call them Luciferians. Now, the Jews, at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, said something very unusual and was brought up yesterday at the service to an individual. And it is so true and has very seldom been thought about or taught about in the churches, that when they hollered, crucify him, speaking of Jesus Christ, they said, let his blood be on our heads and our children's. Is it no wonder with the confession of a blood of Jesus Christ to be on their heads in a way that is of a negative, destructive mode?
Curse.
A curse.
They and cursed that, their bloodline.
They cursed their bloodline, and they have been doing so ever since. In other words, the curse hasn't been lifted. You can go to Israel and see the same experience and situation in their lives. Has it not been that way for them until they come to Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, and say, you are truly the Messiah. That curse will then be lifted. Until then, it is not going to be lifted.
And it's interesting, Patricia, because in Revelation 2:9, it says this, I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So the word blasphemy there is to be a slanderer or to be injurious or injurious speech, impious, right? So here we have the blasphemy, the slander. And when you look into the different prongs of what's going on in the world today from the ADL or from the pornography industry or the movie industry, et cetera, it's interesting that Jesus did not address the blasphemy of the Muslims or the Mohammedans. He did not address the blasphemy of, you know, another people group. He particularly said that in the last days there would be, and Jesus dealt with them. He said, you say you're Abraham's seed. If you were Abraham's seed, you would believe in me. And so he said, you're the children of the devil. He was talking about the religious leaders of his day. So this has been there all along. And there's something about in the last days that there would be a slanderous people. And when you look at the pornography industry and the heads of it, when you look at the ADL, when you look at Hollywood, when you look at the things, it has all been blasphemy on our televisions and our screens. And it has been the synagogue of Satan that Jesus Christ himself addressed. And I would say there's a great woe and that people need to come to faith in Yeshua. And many have. But, you know, this is the spirit of the day. This is the blasphemy, which is connected to that beast, perhaps, in Revelation 13, who has the name of blasphemy written on his heads.
You know, it never ends until it ends. It is in the bloodline. It's in the seed. And it's been that way since the fall of Adam, from generation to generation. And when given opportunity, as the Jews were called God's special people, he created them for a time that he did. When given that opportunity to change through law and then later through the Messiah, and it is pushed aside, everything we see today has to do with that. It is all an accumulation. And now, body of Christ, people who are listening, know that we're going to see more and more of these curses revealed in individuals and in people. Now, why the Christian? Why is the Christian cursed? Actually, the Christian is not cursed. The Word of God tells us that those that are beheaded for his sake will be of the greatest and most beloved in eternity. We who are alive and remaining could stand in the knowledge that that curse has been lifted from us, that we are not under the curse of sin and death. And it is lifted from us, but that faith has to be there strongly and purposely to believe that in this time we will see the coming of the Lord. We will be among those who are alive and remaining and receive ourselves unto him in a manner in which is so glorious, and then rule and reign in this messed up world, have it all cleaned up for the millennium.
Amen. That's the truth right there, Patricia. What we want is the true Prince of Peace to come to this earth, not some anti-Messiah that's going to bring peace out of chaos and have a greater control and to put, you know, subdue, you know, all these nations. It's interesting that when you go back to the book of Revelation and you talk about the Jews, what the Jews represent is a race. It's literally talked about belonging to the Jewish race. So the Jews are a race of people coming up out of the loins of Abraham. So when Jesus said race against race, you would have to see the Palestinian is a race. You would see, you know, all these different people groups as different races, ethnos against ethnos. And again, it is a sign of the times to the people living on this earth that have wisdom out of the Word of God. Listen, we should love, and I mean this with all of my heart. I'm not trying to be flattering or blowing smoke. We are called to love every single person. Now, you have to admit, it would be very hard to love a blasphemous man who calls himself a Jew that's promoting pornography for the specific purpose of destroying every Christian on this earth or destroying every white human being. I mean, you'd have to love somebody like that. That would take a lot of Holy Spirit, right? But we are called to do that, to be children of light. We are told to be just like our Father. He sends the Son on the just and the unjust because there's opportunity for repentance upon any person on this earth if perhaps they ever encounter the true and living God, which the world is just blacking out on. So race against race, Patricia, that's what we see going on in the world today.
Well, it is definitely that way, and it is altogether ridiculous when you really think about it, because we all came from the same seed.
The same blood.
Yeah.
We have one blood.
One blood. And it's from generation to generation, no matter which way it goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here we are
satanic.
Truly fighting one another.
Yep.
We are fighting one another that has been created to be on this earth. And who is behind all of that? Well, of course, we know it's Satan. And so, again, that scripture says, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed, I will make them come and listen to this and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. This is going to happen. I mean, it sounds ridiculous at this moment to us that they're going to come and worship at our feet. I remember someone in our church once read that and got very disturbed over it and said, I couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle anybody worshiping at my feet. But at the time it happens, it's going to be different in the manner and way in which we understand. But things are going to work to God's glory. But we have to understand what's going on, because what is ahead is going to be so unbelievable, body. It's going to be so unbelievable that if you're not walking with the knowledge, the truth, and the greatest faith, it's going to be the most disturbing time you have ever dreamed of.
So the adversary is the slanderer. They are the synagogue of Satan. They say they're Jews and are not. So the true race, or the true seed of Abraham, are the ones that went out to Yeshua in his days upon this earth. They went out by the thousands and tens of thousands to meet the Lord and received of him as the Messiah. They became the foundation of the ecclesia, the called out ones. These were the Jewish people called out from among the religion of Judaism that was under occupation of the Roman Empire. They came out to Messiah. They pledged their allegiance to him. They spread his word. God raised them up. Then the message went out to the ends of the earth, to the Gentile nations of the world. All who put their faith and trust in Yeshua as the Messiah were reconciled back to the Father, received the Holy Spirit, the promise of eternal life. And this is affordable to anybody. Now, here it says they say they're Jews and are not. So they're liars. This is a lying spirit that is satanic. Because why? Satan is the father of lies. There is no truth in him. So there are people that are saying they are belonging to this race or to this true seed of Abraham that are not. Because it's obvious. Jesus said, if you were the children of Abraham, you would believe in me. You can't wrestle with those words.
You can't.
So again, the right thing to do for everybody on this planet, get born again. Accept Jesus Christ. That's the message to the Jew, to the Gentile, and let yourself come to a paradigm of life. There is no Jew or Gentile. There are two men in the earth. There's Adam and there's Christ. And we have been born again into Christ. And let's put on Christ. That's the word of God.
And because the Jew was God's chosen people, Christ, Yeshua, came to them to show them the true Father. The true Messiah was himself. They rejected him. Let be on our heads and our children's. And what we have seen for 2,000 years with the Jew is nothing but torment in their lives and destruction. Even today, it is still working in that way until the end, until his coming. We're going to see it again and again and again.
But you heard this report from Foxman that he said, we are the richest people on the planet. We're the masters of business, politics, law, and most importantly, media. in television today, right? So these are not, you know, poor in the sense they don't have. They control industry all over the world. This is why some people said Adolf Hitler, you know, got rid of the Jews because they had taken over the banking. They had taken over all these different things. And that's a long – but again, we're not talking about the true race that belongs to Yahweh.
The true
we're talking
Jew.
About this rebellious thing that Jesus said they say they are, but they're not. So what are they? Have a mixed bloodline maybe with the Palestinians
well,
or
the Pharisees
Esau?
Did the same. The Gnostics, they made a choice against whatever that mixture may be or may not be. There could be because there was so much mixture as the time went through the lineage of the Israeli man and woman. But, you know, the thing is, it's either a choice for the Messiah or it is not.
Amen. And that's the excellent point, because there will be no peace until the nations turn to the Prince of Peace. The Christians could cry out, oh, God, why are my people dying in our church service? The Jews could cry out, why, God, why are they killing us in our synagogues? The Muslims could cry out, why are they killing us in our mosques? Well, there will never be any peace. Now, this peace deal that the Antichrist is going to make in the Middle East, supposedly, you know, this is supposed to be some kind of a Band-Aid or some kind of a facade that there'll be this moment of solidarity, interfaith kind of peace thing going on. But it's not real. It's never lasting. The only true peace on this planet is in Jesus Christ. And again, I want to just make it clear, we're not saying these things today to be against anybody. We're declaring what is to bring understanding. Patricia, this is a massive, major sign of the times being lived out right before us today because it's escalating.
Amen. And what we're seeing in Thessalonians 5:3 is becoming a reality now, where for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction upon them. Everybody's crying out, why can we not have peace? Because of the, truthfully, because of the rejection of Messiah, because of the rejection of Jesus Christ. And so peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Let me read it one more time. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. We are in that day, and it will be that way. It will happen. It will be fulfilled. It's right at the door. And so what we need to understand is there was a request to pray for the true Israel of God, that they would be able to make it through in these times, receive him as their Messiah, so we can get on with the millennium, meaning reestablishing this world in the kingdom. And that kingdom is going to be where every tear is taken off of a person's face, every pain is taken away from their heart, death would be overcome itself. And we who are with the true Messiah will rule and reign with him. And the millennium will be a time like no other that you've known until after the millennium.
Now, you brought up the phrase that the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians talked about when he said to the Israel of God. He was referring the Israel of God to the Jew and the Gentile becoming one new man in the earth under the Messiah.
Right.
The true Israel of God is under the shepherd, the great shepherd, the Messiah. Now, we live in a world where in Foxman's speech, he said, what has never been retracted, he said that they will be ostracized by not becoming part of the new society of all races. And you see, what is taking place through power, through money, through positions of power in politics and media and television and all this stuff, is that there is an aggressive, intended movement to create a society, a world society, where the elimination of the white race doesn't exist anymore. Every vestige of a white person. Now, Patricia, are you pure Aryan white-blooded?
No.
I'm not pure Aryan white-blooded either. I'm a mix of Italian, Jewish, you know, who knows? And so there are very few that are that way, but I would not want the pure white Aryan race blood, you know, people to be eliminated off the face of the earth, right?
Right.
I mean, because they too are created in the image and likeness of God and have opportunity for salvation. So this prong of these so-called Jews, what the true Jews need to do is renounce this guy. They need to take this article, they need to pin it up before the eyes of the world, and they need to condemn it and say, this is not us. Now, the Muslims can't do that. They cannot say, ISIS is not us. They can't, because everything ISIS is doing is true Islam today.
The Jew that are the bankers of this world, the Jew that has been given opportunity to be doctors and nurses in this country and in Israel, the Jew that has taken the opportunity for education and some of the best professors, the reason that they have these incredible power-based blessing is because they are of the creation of God Almighty. And he taught Israel the things that are right and the things that are wrong and caused them to learn how to be powerful. He gave them that gifting. But when they turned away from Messiah, they had their gifting and they are powerful. There's no doubt about it. They are the richest. They are scientists. They are known throughout the world. And there's jealousy against them. Muslims are jealous against them. But what has happened is they have turned away from their faith. They have turned away from their faith in which God Almighty Jehovah gave them and then never received the true Messiah. So all their giftings have been twisted at this point, unless they are of the bloodline of those who really received Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago.
Amen. Amen. This is such a, you talk it's about rich. The George Soroses, you talk about the Rothschilds, you talk about so many different factions of this. I would say the difference between Christianity and, you know, these other religions of the world is everybody has a right to argue and debate their belief. We do have that right. I mean, this is free speech to be able to, you know, cry out in what is true and what is real as far as what person believes. But when you start agendaing the world into a social society that's controlled by you, or when you start killing people like Muslims do that don't convert, you know, now you're crossing lines. Christians have a right to be argumentative, to debate in love their belief in Jesus Christ, to convert the whole world, but not through force, not through agended manipulation.
It's been manipulation.
Not through any other means. We are to convince the Jew, the Goyim, we are to convince the unbelieving world to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. But we do that by the Spirit of the living God. What I'd like to do, we have a few moments left. There's been a tough subject today, but a good one. If you have any questions or comments, the number is 800, or what am I saying here? It's 818-369-0326. Do you have a question today or a comment about what you're hearing? You're going to turn on Fox News very soon. You're going to be hearing from people in the ADL. You're going to start seeing things about interfaith. You're going to start seeing there's a movement that's going to grow around what's happening with the synagogue shooting, the mosque shooting, and the church shootings. You're going to see something. It's going to appear really special. You need to have your lenses cleansed. You need to be ready to go. But maybe you have some insight to what we're talking about today. We want to give opportunity for you to call into the broadcast, 818-369-0326. And when you do call in, press 1 on your dial pad. We'll take you right into the broadcast and listen to what our listeners have to say. We see many people on the telephone lines right now, so you are out there, and we would love to hear from you, but we've only got about 7 minutes left, so we'll take some quality calls and quality questions. Patricia, anything else you'd like to share before we move on here?
Just that today we must understand who the true Messiah is, that he is coming. There are people running this world. They're the Illuminati. They're the One World Order. They're the Rothschilds. They're the J.P. Morgans. They're there. They are the ones that are of the synagogue of Satan.
Wow, that's a powerful, powerful statement. So what are we looking at today? You and I, born again, spirit-filled Christians, who are working out our salvation, We are living in a world that is filled with turmoil, chaos, hatred, violence, lust, and every other wicked thing. That's why we're called to put on the full armor of God every single day. Put on the full armor of God, because there are weapons of satanic warfare being launched everywhere we go. So just put on the armor of God and that righteousness and that mind of Christ and that belt buckle of truth and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to take that gospel with you everywhere you go, to bring peace to men's hearts and to crush Satan under your feet, to have that shield of faith up, walk in faith. And, you know, just allow yourself with the sword of the Spirit, know the word of God, know how to talk and have conversations with people, lead them to faith in Christ. We are here to win souls. Because, folks, quite frankly, with all this stuff, at the end of the day, it's not going to matter if these people die in this condition. Now, the Apostle Paul, he was a pretty violent man. He wanted to kill every Christian because he opposed them with great might. But God got his heart. And we must be thus minded, that the adversary and the enemy, the people whose flesh is spotted with, you know, the sin of the world, we are to snatch them out of the fire, according to the book of Jude. So we have to be ready to communicate with everybody, rich men, poor men, CEOs, janitors, whatever. We must be equipped to go win souls while there is opportunity. And in the interim, because Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, flee to the mountains, to your covert. Enter into your chambers and shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. Get into your ark. Prepare. He's telling us right now, you need to prepare. The signs are everywhere. Get that garden going. Get that water flowing. Get everything ready to go. Make sure you're ready. And if nothing happens, then blame Jesus for it, because he's the one that said, when you see these things, you need to be ready. This is the word of God. It is the lens. It is the sign. This is the focused, penetrating reality. We do not bring these things up to stir the fire. We bring these things up to say, look, this is what Jesus said would be happening. It's happening all over the world. And something big in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 is on the rise. And what is it? It's called the Great Tribulation. And I know we win. I know that they who endure to the end will come out into a glorious eternal reality. But what is coming is so powerful and forceful, you cannot be afford to be afraid. I cannot afford to be afraid. But God has told us what is coming is designed to take you out as a Christian. That it's so powerful that the devil for 3.5 years will actually triumph over the people of God. He'll have power over them. It's in the Bible in Daniel and in Revelation 13. You need to be out into the place that God has chosen. You need to be in your Goshen. You need to be ready to go for this moment, not in fear, because we have to have a death sentence on our lives anyways. We have to. And when that day comes, we need to be able to give glory to God because he's good and have nothing in us against God's heart. We must be like him, and we must maintain our love for all people. And remember that we too were sinners, just as ugly as everybody else in this world. So perfect love casts out all fear. What we have talked about today is simply a sign, another sign of the times that we are living in. When Yeshua returns to this earth, when Jesus Christ returns to this planet with the title deed, because the day he shed his blood, he became the rightful owner of everything. He's coming back to claim what is his. He's giving power to his people for 2,000 years to maintain the course. We're the generation that has received that baton, and we have it right now. And what we do at this moment is imperative. And yet the Bible's very clear what we are to be doing is preparing for what's coming. And the sign is out there again. We presented it to you today. It's what Jesus said would be. And unless we repent of all unbelief and all doubt, we too will perish. And we don't want to perish. We want to be alive and remaining at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So lift up your hands, lift up your head, pray in the Holy Ghost, put on the full armor of God, get ready to go, have a bold warrior lion's heart, because the King of Glory lives inside of you. The Lion of the tribe of Judah lives inside of you, and greater is he that lives in you than he lives in the world. Don't ignore what's happening. Right now, you could shift on over to Omega Radio, where a roundtable discussion is going to help you work things out. So if you want to get over there right now, we're going to say goodbye. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Pastor Vince. Shalom, and God bless you.